The raven is not known for the beauty of its song, but ravens are fascinating birds. They're highly intelligent, can survive extremes of heat and cold, and they show up in the myths and legends of many different countries. Our producer, Charles Monroe Kane, even has a raven tattooed on his arm. Now, Charles has lots of tattoos, but he says this one's different. Like the raven itself, it's come to symbolize much more than he'd ever imagined.
I grew up in the kind of family where my mom collects chickens. Every Christmas, we all gave her chicken knickknacks. Salt and pepper fighting cocks, a ceramic hen cookie jar, even a clock that clucked instead of chimed. Aunt Mary collected pigs. Aunt Noreen collected frogs. My Aunt Lynette even collects M&M bric-a-brac. We were poor. Really poor. See, my dad was a free spirit. He just couldn't stay in one place. Every new job, new idea, meant a new school almost every year for my brother and sister and me. My father always joked we had gypsy blood. I thought that sounded cool. When I was a kid, the thought of having the blood of a gypsy seemed a hell of a lot better than having the blood of a steelworker or an auto plant assembly line guy. But my sister, the oldest, she didn't think so. She hated moving, being broke all the time. She responded by becoming obsessed with stability. My brother, he just shrugged and partied a lot, content to be the rebellious middle child. Me, the baby, I found solace in Jesus. My conversion at age 13 wasn't via some Lutheran confirmation. No, not me. This was full-on, washed in the blood of the Lamb, speaking in tongues, hand-waving salvation. I was born again. And I was intense about it. I witnessed a classmate try to convert my family. I preached in the streets. I even got involved in missionary work overseas. Eventually, I got the call from God to be a minister and enrolled at a Bible college. And that's when this whole raven thing got started. See, my folks had moved to Alaska after I graduated from high school. My freshman year, they sent me one of those folktale books. It was full of native Alaskan raven lore. To be honest, I didn't read it, but I kept it. And when they asked me about it later, I of course told them I loved it. Being one to embellish, I must have overdone it, because next Christmas and for my birthday and for years to come, the raven stuff just flooded in. Little plastic raven totem poles, raven fridge magnets, raven playing cards, and the books, I swear I had every book about ravens ever written. More folklore than you can shake a stick at. But eventually I read the books. All of them. When you study theology, you always run the risk of flying too close to the sun and melting your wings. I can't tell you the exact day it happened, but by the time I graduated, I was an atheist. I joke now when I talk about it and say, God and I broke up. One of us might call on Easter or Christmas, but the relationship's over. But it was no joke. I had truly loved Jesus. I adored the stories of the Bible. And my calling to the ministry was real. But that was all gone now. I no longer believed in God. And what was left was a mess. When your core shifts, that can be tough. But when your core disappears, well, then what do you do? Me? I moved to Amsterdam. I was in a circus for a while. I partied really hard. I never looked back. Strangely enough, though, the one thing from my old life I didn't lose was the raven. I started to see the raven everywhere. Working closely with a friend to get a project done became this symbiotic relationship between a raven and a wolf in the wild. A hot toddy warm-up after a ski trip became the raven puffing its feathers with oxygen to survive the cold. I was starting to annoy my friends with raven anecdotes. By accident, raven had become my metaphor. Eventually, I decided to get a permanent reminder of the raven on my body and I got a tattoo. Most tattoos face the world, but my raven faces me. There it is, on my right forearm. And I look at it all the time. In the beginning, raven takes pity on human beings and brings us fire and water from the heavens. Raven brings them in his beak in the form of a piece of ice and a burning ember. But the ice is too cold and the ember too hot, and Raven drops them, forming the many lakes and volcanoes of our world. But Raven suffered greatly, and he lost his ability to speak. Reality is, I think a lot about God when I look at my tattoo. I don't want to, but I do. I want to think about cool Raven stuff, like how in a drought, ravens can imitate the sound of running water to lure their kill, or how awesome Tom Waits would sound quoting the Raven Nevermore. But instead, I think about my relationship to God, about some bird losing its voice so I can have fire and water, about someone I used to love dying for my sins. Physicist Niels Bohr once said, "Reality is that which, when you stop believing in it, doesn't go away." That's the cold hard facts, man. It doesn't matter if you believe or not. It just sits there waiting for you, and it will wait forever. And the raven, never flitting, still a sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming. And the lamplight o'er him streaming throws the shadows on the floor. And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore.
Charles Monroe Kane is a producer here at To the Best of Our Knowledge.